clarify real quick. I mean Zeke's dad.
What the fuck is she talking
about,
Mo?
She's a fucking liar. She's a fucking
liar. That wasn't my dad. Right, auntie?
Jesus Christ, Zeke, what the fuck? That ain't your fucking auntie. That's your mother.
Mo, what the fuck is she talking about?
Never been touched and I won't stop till both these squirrels get they nuts. Hey, you know it's good when we freaking king size squeaking after I ease in. If you was with me, baby, 24/7, best believe that every single day would be a sweet day. Curry sweeter than the cheesecake. If you want beef, prophecy would be a beefcake. I make love to you till you fall asleep, leave you with sweet dreams between the sheets.
'Twas the night before that night. I was born on that day, but not last night. Once upon a time, I had my cash right. Plug called, he ain't act right. I'm far from a slow nigga in this fast life. He pulled up, I got low, hit the black light. Once upon a time.
What's good, everybody? It's your man, Big Don, coming live and at you another True Players Podcast episode, along with my brother, co-host, Joey G. Bless you guys on this episode where we're going to talk about Episode 10 of Power Book 2 and the first three episodes of Power Book 4, Force. We apologize for being late with the podcast, but we're here now. You know what I'm saying? So we're here dropping you some gems on what Exactly. Better late than never. So we got my man Joey G. Joey G, let the people know what's up, man.
You already know what it is. Your host of Beer Convo and Family, my co-host, now host of the True Players Podcast. I'm here with Big Dom on his show and doing it up big like we always do. There's no changing in this. We're just going to keep the conversation going, keep the conversation flowing, and talking about power this time around.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate that. And once again, people, it's your man Big Dom, the immortal world champion. You know, the reason why I come up with the new name was because after 6 months of fighting Instagram on my original Instagram page, swag_lover, I'm proud to say I got all my memories back of my mother, my father, and my aunt. I got it back on February 20th in the middle of the goddamn night, working hard, finding ways to get that Instagram page back, and I got it back. So, not going to talk too much about it. Stay tuned to the live Instagram live afterwards. If me and Joey G stay up after the podcast, we may hit you with that little IG live afterwards from the original IG page of Swag Lover, now known as Immortal_World Champion. So now let's get to the episode. We left episode 10. A lot of surprises happened during that episode. Now, all of a sudden, Joey G, bro, we saw Tariq handling the gun as if he was a professional. He was in the military shooting niggas and all types of shit. But first...
I have to say this, because now everybody don't look at it the same way that I do as far as holding the gun in the military and all that. Mm-hmm. Listen... After he shot his first one, his father, when he laid his father to rest, and I still say supposedly, after he laid his father to rest, in his eyes, that was the hardest kill he ever had to make.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
So anything after that is going to come easier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about you. This is easier.
Mm-hmm.
You're shooting at me. It makes it easier. I have no feelings for you, so it makes it easier. His father, he had feelings for you. You saw the hesitation. You saw that he didn't want to do it, but it was a necessary evil that he felt he needed to do. So he did it. There you go. Boom, it's done. Now you see Tariq. Yeah, he holding the gun, and it seems like he knows what he's doing after this point. Like, yo, he looking like Kanan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He looking like a young Kanan after catching the first body. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't he catch a body by his first body was his father also?
I thought, well, yes, but he survived that. And I believe but with
in his yeah, eyes,
that was his first body. No, the first body was that kid that he killed. Well, we go back to Kanan, Razor Kanan. That first body he killed was that that kid. Excuse me, at the corner. That was his first body. That was his true first body. And he wanted that. He wanted that body anyway. Because he was moving in on his mother's turf and stuff like that night, but he didn't know what his mother already made a deal with Unique about that.
Right.
But episode 10 starts off. Lauren's dead. You know what I'm saying? That so beautiful. Sad. That beautiful.
So sad, but we don't know because we didn't see a body.
I'm true. Putting it out there. True. Did they put RIP on Instagram yet about her?
No.
Okay.
Not that I've seen.
Okay.
Zeke's came up really quickly.
Oh man, listen, I wish I was able to put the other video that I created myself. Once again, shout out to Oxygen Junkie on Instagram. Definitely follow their page, Oxygen.Junkie. You know, when I saw that clip that you guys saw in the beginning of the podcast, that shit had me rolling the fuck out with the ether song going behind that, and then that's ain't your mother. That's not your auntie. That's your mother. Oh shit. Yeah, it only goes to show you that internet has no chill. And once again, I thank Oxygen.Junkie for the creativity on that. That should have me rolling to the point that I had to incorporate it into the podcast, but I'm not going to incorporate something that I did not create without giving props to the originator. And that's what we're doing for Oxygen.Junkie. Definitely follow their page at Oxygen.Junkie on Instagram.com. But now, the thing is too. We're still going over the still. Teresa has a court situation he had to take care of.
Right.
And once again, his boy Braden is a ride or die friend, ride or die brother. He's developing into that brother Tariq never had. You know what I'm saying? So, what's your views on Braden and how he took the L for that?
Braden is turning out to be, in my eyes, to be a surrogate Tommy. Mm-hmm. A surrogate Tommy. You see a lot of similarities as far as the brotherhood wanting to put in work in the streets and wanting to put work in.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they come from two different backgrounds. There's a lot to be said about that, but Braden doesn't want anything to do with his aristocratic life,
mm-hmm.
that privileged life. He's not about that. He can't stand his brother. His sister, he looks at funny. Mm-hmm. His father is just like, yo, you're too entitled. Mm-hmm. The mother, can't really say nothing about her because she's just a picture on the wall.
Mm-hmm. She's pretty indifferent to the whole situation.
Right. She's a picture on the wall. So it's just like, okay. But Braden did hold it down in court. And I wasn't surprised. I felt like he was going to handle it in his way and make sure that those he felt he needed to take care of were being taken care of. And the ones that were collateral damage, funny, his blood was collateral damage in that mm-hmm. situation.
Facts. But another thing too, there may have been collateral damage, but you also protected Trace as well. Because if Trace had gone on that stand and started snitching,
He would have got killed.
Oh, he did.
And we knew it. We knew it when he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna call a cop." You ain't saying shit. You ain't saying shit. This night never happened. You fell down some stairs.
And Kane was not about leaving loose ends and stuff like that. And I think
I wonder where he got that from.
His daddy.
His daddy and mom. Mom says that all the time.
No loose ends.
No loose ends.
No loose ends. And that's crazy because now we talk about that stuff. Now, there's still loose ends everywhere.
Yep.
They close up one loose end, they open up three more loose ends.
Now, the biggest loose end they have right now that's walking around untouchable right now is Tariq.
You think he's a loose end for the Tejadas, or is the other way around?
He's a loose end. He's a loose end. He knows all of their business. He knows all of their secrets. He's a loose end for that family.
They also know his secrets too.
They do, but how are they going to use that? are they going to use that?
You know what? You have a great point when it comes to that.
It's like they did in the court. It would be a double jeopardy situation. You put them in a double jeopardy situation. We already knew about that. What are you talking about? He was proven innocent on that. Like, you can't really prove it.
Mm-hmm.
So you put them in the same boat.
But you know what it is, too? You know what it is, too? We go back to Bradenport.
Right.
It was strategic what he did earlier in the season when he had Braden sign that paperwork so he get a legit paycheck to get Yasmin back.
Yes. But it was forced on him, if we go back, and you remember the situation, it was forced on him to do it in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to. It just made sense to do it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It made sense. And now that that happened, he's glad he did, because had it gone the other way, that would have been a nail in the coffin.
Yeah. You know, Tariq, I put you like Tariq is at the chess table. He's the guy playing chess.
Yes.
He got all his pieces, the pawns, the kings, the queens. He got everything in control. Mm-hmm. But the problem is the reason why Tariq cannot get a checkmate is because he let the pussy trick him.
That, and you let the pieces on the board play their own role.
Mm-hmm.
You don't move the pieces. You let them play it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing, too, with Tariq. Now, we're going to go back to Tariq, though. But the most important part of the episode is Lauren still alive? Is she dead? What's going to happen? Because, you know, Tariq is going to find out what really happened.
Supposedly she died in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
Whose car?
Good point.
Whose car? Because it wasn't her car.
Nope. She got that blue Beamer that she lent Tariq.
Right. It wasn't her car that she got into a car accident with. So whose car did she actually have an accident in?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't make any mention of that specific wise.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads me to believe there's something else they're leaving out.
Mm.
Something else has left out of that intentionally. That whole situation was kind of funny to me.
Mm-hmm. But you know what it is too, bro. We talk about the chessboard. Think about the chessboard. A lot of people was playing chess. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the thing is too, we have to understand something here, is that everyone's playing chess, but the one that keeps on winning is that St. Patrick.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So,
I think they're about that life.
You know what I'm saying. So we'll talk. We're gonna talk about more about Tariq. But let's talk about the role of Cain and dealing with the saga of having to kill his father.
Mm. That threw him for a loop.
Mm-hmm. He tried to act hard, but it did throw him off.
It did, because he had to realize that this is time to put your big boy's pants on. We can hit every person on the street that you don't care about, but can you hit somebody that you actually care about? Can you take somebody out of the world that you actually care about, that you need to take off the board? Because if you don't, they're taking you out.
Right.
it's both a means of survival and at the same time necessity.
Right. But it's funny, it's great that his mom, the laws of power, and you know, I watch other YouTube commentary about power. They always seem to mention the Book of Power, the 48 laws of power, the 58 laws of power, whichever one you want to call it now.
Are we 51?
51. and everything, 50. Yeah, and everybody in this chess that's playing chess is playing the game, the law of power in their own way to get that checkmate. Yeah. Okay. Monet had to manipulate Kane into believing that he had to go kill his father. Monet had to manipulate Mecca into believing that he's going to do it. And then she went back to her hubby, explained to him the real plan. But she also has a plan for Lorenzo, too.
Right.
But his time is not yet. He's not ready to pay the piper yet.
No, but
not yet.
The bell is tolling on that.
Yep, not yet.
The bell is tolling on that.
But not just that. If and when that particular situation happens, Monet's gonna actually gonna have to answer that toll too.
It would be a double, a double situation on that.
So, I like how Lorenzo. I know he was mad about the situation. Find out how Zeke is her son and all that stuff. All intents and purposes, Monet was not fucking Dante or Mecca,
right?
She wasn't fucking him. She just was with the dude, and he had all this big plan of getting his life back with his family and stuff like that. But we're going to go to Zeke's situation. Freaky Zeke. All heartbroken over his Professor Milgram. Carrie dead. You know, I was heartbroken from the fact that I won't be able to see her beautiful face on Power anymore. But I got over that myself. But apparently Zeke couldn't. Okay, and then Zeke had to get the help of another ex of hers, Detective Whitman, to help him find out the truth about whether or not Monet killed his beloved. He found out, and that sent him to a loop. But before that sent him to the loop, Mecca, his dad, as we talk about later, we'll talk about him later. That nigga's a slime ball. He's the dirty round slime ball. Giving that boy that Porsche. Set that boy up to get killed. His own son to get killed. I don't understand what father would do that to set up his own kin to be murdered.
End game was Monet, right?
Yes.
Collateral damage was the son. He didn't have a relationship with him. That was just a lure. It was a lure in the whole situation because he really didn't show no genuine. Think about it. The conversation that he had with his son. He manipulated his son into talking to Monet when he shouldn't have.
Right.
He had no reason to talk to her at the time, after the death of Professor Milgram.
No.
He didn't have no reason to talk to her. But on the father's strength, he talked to her. And it was an ultimatum pretty much, because it was like, if you want me to help you, you're going to have to talk to her. So he did. There was a lot of game playing as far as that was concerned. Yes, from the beginning, he's been manipulating situations, but it's been a tit for tat when it comes to Monet and him. Almost like we go back in the day, and our parents' era was probably more of the tango we seen on screen. That's what was playing out. It was a back and forth of power, that power struggle. It was beautiful to watch. It was a nice dance. They were both playing. But in the end, Not so much.
I put it to you like this. It was a dance that me personally, I would not do that to my child, no matter if I had no relationship with him or not. I wouldn't do that.
I mean, at the end of the day, a parent is, the sacrifice is supposed to be on the parent, end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Sacrifice is supposed to be on the parent, end of the day.
And so enough.
Mm-hmm. The opposite way is just like, I can't imagine that.
Mm-mm. But Zeke was so gullible throughout the whole process. His gullibility also got him killed as well at the end. I was going to say, too, the way Mecca bribed him with the car, showed him the private planes. Yes.
The weakness of him?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no way I could even hand this down to you.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get in that plane. We're going to have a whole family. But you know, we granted, as we're going to talk later about how Z got killed.
Mm-hmm.
Lorenzo and his interaction with Monet, right? Lorenzo wanted to be the one to kill Mecca. But he probably would have been killed or probably wouldn't be able to do it because Mecca was watching him too. Right. Mecca, that was his... That was the guy across the table of the chessboard.
Yes.
So everything he's doing is setting it up with the pawns and stuff. He even had Lorenzo's crew, the BSKs, turn on him too. So, and they flipped it back because, you know, Lorenzo, people seem to discredit Lorenzo's street smarts. Yeah, he may have been behind bars for like, I don't know, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
The man still got street smarts.
Mm-hmm.
He knew how to move in the streets.
Yes.
So, and the beautiful part is this: everything that happened was based on Tariq's planning. St. Patrick planned the whole shit.
Yes.
The true master at the true table was Tariq.
The chess master, yeah. I can see that.
You know what I'm saying? Was there collateral damage? Yes, there was collateral damage. Zeke died. Mecca died.
Mm-hmm.
Right? At the hands of Monet, which is going to come back and haunt Tariq because you know why, bro? Bianca Rodriguez is DEA now.
Yeah.
And she has a hard on for Tariq because she believes Tariq killed Ray Ray.
Yeah.
And Tariq, for all intents and purposes, is totally innocent.
Yeah.
But now let's get back to Mecca a little bit now. The timing of him contacting Blanca Rodriguez. Do you believe was he was too late letting her know that his cover was blown or that was deliberately set up that way because he didn't want to set up Tariq?
It could have been both. And like a last resort.
Mm-hmm.
Like a last resort. But when it comes to Blanca Rodriguez, now, if she's on the scent of the case and she's on the scent of Tariq right now,
mm-hmm.
You also have Sax.
Yes.
You also have Sax is like, wait, there's too many coincidences. He seems to be around everything that's been going on right now. And based off what I've seen on this case, he could be that person. Yes, it's not pointing to him, but that doesn't mean, that doesn't exclude him from what's right. been going on. So, mm-hmm. Blanca Rodriguez and Sax, mm-hmm. they have to work together later down the road. The DA,
mm-hmm.
the DA that he's sleeping with.
Oh, yeah.
The DA that Sax is sleeping with right now. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like she's going to be around in season 3 for too long.
But hold on, bro. I think that's going to be the trigger for turning on Tariq.
Right.
And McClain. That's going to be a trigger because he got feelings for her.
Yes. And it's been established since mm-hmm. season 1.
Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. been established since season 1. So the Angela Valdez and Jamie St. Patrick and all of these relationships that happened during the times of Sax doing what he does behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We already seen him go over the edge once.
Mm-hmm. Too bad Tariq beat him to it.
Right. And mm-hmm. he also admitted to it.
Mm-hmm.
Which he also admitted to. So, yeah.
But the thing is, the another thing too, I'm going to bless you with the, if you notice too, what set him off was the death of Lauren and how it hurt his girlfriend.
Yes.
Again, Tariq had nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with her death, quote unquote death.
Right.
He should have get her to safety so Kane wouldn't kill her.
Right.
So, and then eventually Effie, you know, probably did what she did and can. Like a what do you call those people? Not like a fox, but she came and sit right in his bed. You know, she was a little hurt that she betrayed him. She slid right in his bed like nothing happened. Listen, you got something finally that slid into your bed? Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
Her role has been very sketchy since the beginning.
Since Choate.
Right. Her role has been very sketchy from the beginning. I feel in Choate, she was out for him.
Mm-hmm.
This season, it feels like he's not the problem, so I'm going to work around him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what she's doing or who she's involved with behind the scenes, but she has to have somebody behind her. Somebody is backing this woman.
Mm-hmm.
For her to be moving the way she's moving. She pulled up in a car she did not have.
Right.
She's always walking, using the train and everything like that. She's moving, but she's moving inconspicuous. This is the first time we've seen her pull up in a car and get in the fucking vehicle.
No. Chill. She didn't have a car when she met Monet, though. She had the little busted up Corolla.
Yeah, but this is a brand new vehicle.
That's what I'm saying, though. Where'd she get that vehicle from?
Where'd she get the vehicle from?
You know what I'm saying? That's something that we gotta we season like, 3 is going to be interesting, bro, because it's gonna be a lot of pre stories and then future stories gonna develop.
Yeah, there's a lot that's gonna be developing, and I feel there's a lot of things that were talked about, but at the same time, did it really make sense? Think about it. She died with money.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you take that money?
What? If, okay, let's say you were going to commit suicide. Oh, I can't take this. You're going to drive off, get into an accident with all this money.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, that doesn't make sense to me.
Doesn't make sense. But we will see what happens. I know if DMX was alive, he probably would have been in power back. Not soon. It gonna happen like that.
Oh, he would have been fun to see on Power.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been fun to see on Power. That would have been That would have been one of my dream casts to see him on Power.
too bad we weren't able to see that, to get that at all.
No.
But
we still have Tretch from Naughty by Nature we could put in there. We mm-hmm. also have Sticky Fingers.
Mm-hmm. True. Now let's talk about excuse me. Ooh.
I mean our generation anyway.
Yeah. Let's talk about Davis McClain, bro. His role.
Method Man,
David McClain, try to get his brother Theo Rollins out of prison.
Red Man.
Yep. It's gonna situation's gonna open up a can of worms because one, Sax is working to make that happen.
Right. But it's gonna be a favorite type situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you noticed his face when he asked them about the case. This is the most important case we got in this office.
Mm-hmm.
Sax's face when he said that was just like, really?
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those really like, I'm going to use this to my advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So So, yes, that's going to open up a can of worms. We're going to see what pops off with that situation.
And then Tim and Tariq got some issues, too.
Yeah.
Because you knew Kane planted that badge on me, and you didn't say nothing. But I'm going to tell you something right now, bro. I believe Kane's going to die because of Tariq. But it won't be Tariq pulling the trigger.
Possible.
Because if you look at the entire season, which two characters from the original Power series were missing that everyone was talking about, whether you watch on YouTube, potentially showing up in season two, did not show up yet?
We didn't see Tommy. We saw Tasha, so we can't count Tasha.
Tasha, we're going to talk about at the end. That should touch my heart, though.
But for how long, though? Well, that situation's not dead anyway.
It's not dead yet, but her situation is also linking book two to book four as well. And I'm gonna get to that a little bit later in the podcast. We're gonna talk about that. But most importantly, thing too, 2-Bit, who we thought was gonna be in season two, did not show up.
2-Bit was not.
Cristobal, who was in jail with Lorenzo, did not show up, and everyone said he was supposed to show up. Two heavy hitters from the original Power series, who was supposedly on a casting the entire season, did not show their face not once this season.
Boom.
And I'm gonna give a prediction right now. Kane is gonna die because of Tariq, but 2-Bit is gonna be the one to pull the trigger.
I can see that.
It'll be 2-Bit that takes him out. This will be after Lorenzo's killed, and it's gonna be after Monet gets killed by Diana. So that's my prediction. Whether season three, definitely Lorenzo's gone.
I feel like Monet and Diana are going to be at a position of, I have to take you out. It's either you or me type situation. I feel like it's building up to that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a normal mother-daughter relationship.
Right.
They don't have that. I feel like it's constant. It's a undefined competition between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes no sense, and it makes sense at the same time.
For her poppy. She loved her poppy.
Listen.
You know what I'm saying? That's daddy's little girl right there. She gonna do whatever it takes to protect her dad.
That shit's crazy.
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, bro. You already saw she got him out of jail. Ruined Mecca's plan in the process. That's what Mecca fell asleep on. He was concerned about the other two. Well, Drew was distracted by Everett, but he wasn't paying attention to Diana.
About Everett.
But now, who would have thought, bro, Everett would make it to season three and not Freaky Zeke?
Listen, I thought he was going to get killed in a random gunfire or something like that. Like when they first had when Zeke got shot, I didn't think it was going to be him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be his teammate. I ain't going to even lie about that.
Right.
Which the story could have played out like that and it still would have worked out. He could have had the PTSD. He could have been wanting retaliation and all of that. Like that storyline could have played out as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they fucked up my career, this, that, and the third. Like, I want vengeance, blood hungry. I get it.
Mm-hmm. Ruined his career, killed his girl.
Right. Nah.
The Zeke story ended too, for me, and it ended prematurely.
Once again, we didn't see a body. We only can assume Yes, he got a call and everything. The family got a call. Maybe
Monet got a call. Monet got a call.
Maybe they did that to see the reaction. Because remember, Zeke came to him. And he came to the detective and asked how Professor Milgram died. Mm-hmm. You still consider it a suicide, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Him getting shot, you don't know what he's thinking in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
He was already there. He just needed something to push him over the edge.
Right. But who pulls the trigger to quote-unquote kill him?
The same person that denied his existence.
And now you wonder where Kane get his impulsive ways from, because Lorenzo deviated from the plan.
Yeah, he did. He definitely deviated from the plans. Oh, y'all feel like y'all leaving me? I got something for all y'all.
He deviated from the plan, and he thought he killed Mecca. Now you've seen Mecca and you've seen Zeke. How the hell you got them two mixed up is beyond my comprehension. He knew he shot Zeke from the jump.
Listen, when the newscast came on the TV, he knew he killed him.
like a MFing smooth criminal, Lorenzo killed Zeke Freaky.
You've been hit by.
You've been stuck by a smooth criminal. And that's exactly what it was. And I actually, bro, when we're done with the podcast, I need you to help me create that video. I had smooth criminal. Oh, my goodness. I need to get that exact scene. I want to get the full scene of that and do it. get the full scene of that. And the aftermath. Listen, season 3 is going to be the aftermath of season 2. Big things are going to happen.
There's a lot of things that have been stirred up. The waters are getting really murky right now.
Let me tell you something. It's getting real murky right now, bro. Getting real murky right now for the Tejada family.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So let's get back. Before we head over to Power Force with our guy, our main man, Tommy Egan.
Tommy
Teresi, whatever you want to call that man.
No, Tommy Egan.
Tommy Egan. But I believe the Teresi side is going to come out in Chicago as well.
I feel like he's going to bump into his ties over there, yes.
He already started bumping to ties too.
Yes.
On the Egan side.
Yes.
But now let's get to, before we get to that, bro. I don't want to miss this. The heartfelt reunion of Yaz and Tasha St. Patrick.
Oh, that was awesome. It was long overdue.
Mm-hmm.
Yasmin hasn't really been a part of the Power season as much as we'd like. She didn't really have a voice. We knew she was there.
Mm-hmm.
It was good to see the transition from her little girl to her older self now,
mm-hmm.
Being reunited with her mother. Cool. Mm-hmm. She's, in my eyes, she's not really a part of the storyline.
Not yet.
Right. Not as much as her sister. I feel like her and her sister should have traded places.
Hmm.
Because I feel she was more suited for the role right now, like that, and the same turmoil that we watched Tyreek go through,
mm-hmm.
where you're being good, going by the book and everything like that, and then you realize going by the book is cool,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to have to make some moves under the table.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I see that, and I feel like her sister, could have played that off a little bit better.
Definitely. I got you on that. But like I said,
Raina.
It was heartfelt to see Tasha and her daughter get back together. And Tariq showed his good side,
mm-hmm.
in making that happen. He showed his ability to sacrifice for the greater good. Something that Ghost, his father, didn't always do.
But he had a vision to do.
Yeah.
Now, we watch everything that played out. He had a vision for everything that played out.
Mm-hmm. You sure did.
So Tyreek is getting a taste of that now. Mm-hmm. Where he has to fit the role of his father and do some of the stuff that his father would do in these situations.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to directly say, oh, I see why my father did that, but he's starting to understand my father had bigger shoes than I saw.
Mm-hmm.
He made moves and he made decisions, and I see why it affected people the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
Not for nothing, Braden found it out too.
Mm-hmm.
Braden got a taste of that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to be put in that position. You were. Now how are you going to handle that?
Exactly.
That's pretty much book two to me has been book three. Mm-hmm. Book three has been that that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't want you in this position, but now that you are, how are you going to handle it?
Facts. Facts. So, like I said, as we turn the page from book two, season two, we're going to talk about now Power Book Force. Force.
First of all, let's start with the Flynn family.
You want to start with the Flynn family, or you want to start where Tommy gets to Chicago? And show it flexes his muscle the way like a true New Yorker flexes his muscle. And talking about
he did exactly what I thought Tommy was gonna do. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I was gonna slip by, I was gonna have a drink, I was gonna have something to eat. This nigga had to open his mouth.
No, not only did he open his mouth, he got pussy on the first episode. And that was with his pussy. That was his rival's pussy. He came in the door busting the 4-4.
Tommy did Tommy, and I'm mm-hmm. not mad about that. Like, I really appreciate where Tommy has that right now. Like, yo, okay, what else does Tommy got?
you know, bro, we had a conversation before we started this podcast. We mentioned how he became the Tommy Egan that Ghost envisioned him to be.
Yeah.
He's gone from soldier to soldier / enforcer to Casper. And I'm not saying that to be racist or anything like that.
No, Casper as far as Ghost.
As far as Ghost. He right. became his own version of Ghost.
Which is Casper, yes.
And we started to realize amongst the books, books is not one person. It's many people. And we've seen the evolution with Tommy. In the first three episodes, he is scouting the Chicago like no other.
He's taking on notes everywhere he's going.
Check it out. He's taking down routes, the hitters, the movers, the primeras, all of them in Chicago.
Right.
But he's gonna run into an issue with the Flynns. That old man don't understand that he's dealing with a real. Tommy may be younger than him. But Tommy's is an OG compared to the Flynns.
The Flynns were so comfortable in their power that all they had to do was flex.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with somebody who understands you flex,
mm-hmm.
but were waiting for your action.
Mm-hmm.
Or willing to counter that with an action
mm-hmm.
to see how you will react.
and he
take you off the board completely.
And you know, we both know Tommy because we wipe out everybody off the board. And the thing is too, people don't understand that he came from New York. He lived in Southside Queens, all black neighborhood. Right. So he doesn't know about the white and black situation that's going on in Chicago. He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's y'all rules.
That's your rule. And he said that clearly. That's your fucking rules. That's not mine.
Right.
That's not mine. And he had to say, but Mark was thinking about Tommy. He set his mark in Chicago and enforced it immediately.
Right.
Breaking that guy's arm. Mm-hmm. Taking out Rojas' soldiers who put a bag over his head, him and Diamond, put a bag over him and Diamond's head.
Right.
and made him made them do runs for them while they had Jannard captured. And look what happened to those two people.
Right.
Then end up dead now. Right. And now the CBI now owe Tommy. And let's not forget many things. There's many things about Power Book Force that I think we're gonna need another episode to talk about it fully.
Oh, we will.
Tommy has a brother.
Yes.
Tommy has a nephew who's in the CBI. Mm-hmm. And you already see the cracks between the two brothers, Jannard and Diamond. Mm-hmm. I think Jannard bought that barbershop to control Diamond, but the thing about it is too, what Tommy sees in Diamond is what he saw in Ghost, he saw a lineage,
right,
between the two. They understand how the streets are supposed to roll,
right?
And I believe once Tommy gets in contact with his nephew, who's been shooting up his father's bar, mind you. That's going to create an even bigger division in CBI. Because now you're dealing with, that's Tommy's blood running with Jannard.
Right.
Which Tommy does not like. Tommy has no use for him.
Right. He's already peeping him as far as his fighting and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Diamond, you know, he's been out the game for 15 years. His story is he does not want to go back.
Yeah.
I don't know if he wants to leave the game, but I know he does not want to go back to prison. Mm-hmm. So he's playing the Ghost role along with Tommy now, who's evolved from "I want to stay in the game." Yes, Tommy wants to stay in the game, but now he wants to be the guy behind the scenes. He doesn't want to be visible in the streets anymore. And Tommy did run to an old friend in Chicago, mm-hmm.
Juliana.
Now, for all those people who thought that she was the pink sneakers girl, no, she's not the pink sneakers girl. She was the courier for Ghost and Tommy,
yes,
and Julio. And she got slashed in the face because
by the pink sneaker girl.
But Juliana is a tough bitch too. She blew that kid's head off in the elevator, if you remember in season one. Mm-hmm. So she's a tough because she was fighting Tommy and shit. But bro, explain to me why she was fighting Tommy. I did not understand that. If she was working for Tommy and Ghost, why would she think Tommy was gonna kill her?
Because Tommy wanted to kill her. After that whole situation popped off and she got sliced in the face, they felt like she was gonna wreck.
Mm-hmm.
And his explanation was simple. It was like, yo, who's going to be with you after you get a slice, you got a scar on your face like that? Nobody's going to be with you. Mm-hmm. We have no use for you. We can't use you on the streets, anything mm-hmm. like that. So the only thing left for you to do is rap.
Mm-hmm.
So let's kill her. Get rid of her.
Mm-hmm.
No, we'll just send her away.
Mm-hmm.
What they wound up doing. I think Julio set that up.
Julio set that up.
Yeah, Julio set that up.
But, bro, how valuable is it now for Tommy that he has somebody who worked with him, who worked for him in New York, in Chicago with him?
Oh, it's great because she already knows how he operates.
Exactly.
And now they're really on the same page because they really can't trust each other, but they have to work together. So they're going to go by the rules of each other?
Mm-hmm. basically, what they're both doing is trusting the devil that they know.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what it boils down to. As far as their relationship, which I found funny as hell, I still find it funny as hell, that they're in this relationship that they need. They need each other
mm-hmm.
to survive. So in order to survive, I'm going to have to work with you. You're going to have to work with me. We're just going to have to make this work.
Facts. Facts. The
interaction that Juliana had with the Flynn's bodyguard, that was funny as hell.
Mm-hmm. Oh, talking about the cop. Is he a cop, right?
No. The driver.
The driver or the guy with the funny looking mustache.
The funny looking mustache, yeah.
I thought he was a cop.
No, he's not a cop.
Oh.
He's not the cop. The cop is the black dude that showed up in what's his name's barbershop.
Ah, okay.
He's the cop.
Mm-hmm.
And the son, the one that the son is paying under the table.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. Tommy has saved Gennard and Victor. That's the name, Victor. Vic. In a situation that they're both novice in the game of the drug game.
They would have got killed by novice, period.
Exactly.
Which were more novice than them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is stupid. Tommy has done more for the CBI than anyone else has done over the past 15 years.
The funny thing is, him coming into the situation,
mm-hmm.
He not only did he save him, he took the drugs, the money, all in one swoop. Just like, no. I'm going to hold on to this.
Mm-hmm. And he gave the Flynns back their money, he gave the CBI back their money.
Right. But in that situation, I found it funny that not only did he save them in that deal, mm-hmm. he took their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Only to go to their bigger boss and be like, here's your product, here's your money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't need that shit. I just wanted it. His basic point was, I wanted to see who you were. Like, I wanted to see the big guy. They're not the big guy. You're the big guy.
No.
Okay, now that I've seen you, I know who you are.
Now, what's the role of the daughter now? The daughter.
The role of the daughter wants to be where the father is. The son can't do it. I don't care. He may have some good ideas.
Time is questionable.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like the daughter is more business savvy when it comes to product.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if her involvement with the drugs is going to hinder that.
Mm-hmm.
But with everything else, she seems to be on point.
She got the new designer shit that she's trying to put Tommy on.
Right. The only question I have for her is enforcement-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like her father is trying to, without saying it, he's trying to say it. Like, who are you scaring?
Mm-hmm.
What are you gonna do if I just manhandled you right now? Like, how would you handle that?
Mm-hmm. Flynn is not there for long. Flynn is not there for long. I sense an issue with between Tommy and Vic over Gloria. Gloria likes Tommy. Mm-hmm. Likes more than Vic because Tommy's he's more in control of his situation than Vic is. Vic's still gonna answer to Daddy. Even if Daddy would have died tomorrow, he's still going to answer to Daddy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
He's so what?
Mm-hmm.
That's what basically she told him.
Mm-hmm.
Even if your father was out of the picture, you'd be stuck in that role anyway.
Mm-hmm. But now, the thing is, too, you got Diamond who's trying to get control of the CBI. He got the old heads rock with him. The new heads rock with Gennard. That's gonna be another dynamic. Now, bro, in that fight, because I watched it on someone else's YouTube, I forgot the name of the YouTube host. They mentioned that Gennard let Diamond win. What's your version of that fight?
After the fight was over, that's how they made it seem.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible Gennard had a one up on him by knowing a little bit more. Tactically, as far as fighting was concerned, he knew a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean you could run the streets, though.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Tactically, just like Tommy before,
mm-hmm.
that was the same situation before with Tommy. Tommy, mm-hmm.
tactically, Tommy knew how to enforce.
Mm-hmm.
By fear, by intimidation, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But he also understands now, after Ghost passed, his moves were necessary to make things happen.
Right.
And that's what, I think that's the biggest thing. Like, as you get older, you find different ways to make things happen without recourse.
Right.
You don't want conflict. You don't want arguments. You don't want altercations. If mm-hmm. it's a smooth transition, especially when it comes to money, all the better.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to lose anybody. All the better. Why not go that route?
True.
Why do we want the attention? Let's go back to mafia terms and rules and regulations. As far as they were concerned, too much attention brings heat.
Right.
We don't want that.
Right.
All this conflict you're talking about is only going to draw eyes towards us. We don't want that.
Facts.
Yes, I do have a respectable business. Yes, I do have a barbershop, but they know where to find me.
Mm-hmm.
They already know I'm a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that you do reflects back on me.
Right. Once again, the laws of power, and Chinar is probably use that to his advantage.
Yeah. To hide behind the shadows. But he's sleeping on his brother also. Because like I was telling my wife when we were watching this situation, I was like, that young dude is messing with him and not realizing that his brother is holding back because he has feelings for his brother. Because that's kin, he's holding back.
Yes. That's why they didn't kill, that's why they didn't knock him out.
He didn't knock him out, one. Number two, he didn't transform into the other part of himself. The same, like, Ghost we know in Jamie St. Patrick, those two people, totally different.
Mm-hmm.
One is caring, compassionate, the other one has no remorse.
Stone Cold Killer.
Stone Cold Killer. You're flirting with something you don't recognize.
True.
You've only heard about and you haven't seen, so you don't take that for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's your mistake.
Mm-hmm. So two more things I want to talk about before we end the podcast. Shortly, briefly, I'm kind of excited to see how Tommy and his evolution with his brother, the relationship evolves.
I feel like there's more to the story with his brother is concerned. There's more to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's more to it, especially with him being an Egan.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be some flack with that. Egan, as far as we know, Egan, as far as we know, the family is tied up.
Mm-hmm.
Him being black and tied up into that family, there's got to be more to it.
Got
to be more to it.
Got to be. Now you probably see why Cade liked Ghost so much. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I'm kind of excited to hear that story. I'm kind of excited for Tommy to have his family back, family that was kept away from him, kept a secret by his mother. And I would not be surprised if you see Kate Egan in force this season,
or at least a phone call or something.
Right, but. Well, there's a lot of things to look forward to as far as Tommy goes, about Book Force. Don't be surprised, bro. And I'm going to tell you this straight out. If you don't see a Tasha appearance in Power Book Force this season.
That's possible.
Because where she's doing Witness Protection Program, she's very close to Chicago.
True. They might cross paths.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear Tommy's famous line, motherfucker.
Motherfucker. But this is where Tommy cares for Tasha, but he didn't like the fact that she snatched the stitched on him and lied on him. And it's two things. She lied on him, plus she killed Keisha. Without fully explaining why she did it.
But she lied that she did it.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that she did it.
Mm-hmm.
He lied about it.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to pin it on the ghost.
Yeah.
That was the unforgivable sin right there.
Mm-hmm.
That she lied on it and tried to blame it on his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he was literally going to kill his brother because of that.
He killed
him because of that.
He killed his brother. He killed his brother's baby, his girl. You know, Tommy ain't somebody you mess with. If he's able to kill Angela, someone who he went to school with, without even blinking, then what he's going to do to you? So you got to be careful, especially Tommy. Deep down, I want Tommy's looking for a family.
Tommy, actually, this season I've seen so far, he's shown that.
Mm-hmm.
He's shown the inkling for wanting that family and seeing I do have family. Like, he wouldn't have left. I don't think if he didn't get that number that he got from his brother, I think he would have left.
Yeah. His brother's keeping him in Chicago.
Yeah.
Brother's definitely keeping him in Chicago. So I'm kind of spoilers, the little spoilers for the next episode, where Tommy's trying to get Diamond and Vic on the same plane to sell drugs from the Jimenez family, which was hidden in Juliana's house. But I want to know how Tommy's going to incorporate that new designer shit into his moves he makes. And another thing, too, since he got that new designer drug, how does that affect Tariq in season 3? I totally believe Tariq, there will be a Tariq Tate Patrick sighting in this season of Force. It'll happen.
I don't forget he still has that car.
Which one? The Mustang, right?
The car with the spider on it.
Yes, yes. The Jimenez. Cristobal,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, are they gonna? Would he go back and work with Cristobal again, knowing that he was working with Dre?
No, I'm just saying he has the card, so he can use that in his advantage.
Yeah,
that's another player on the board. That's not really a player on the board. That's the same way Ghost came through, infiltrated everybody on the board, killed everybody, and mm-hmm. walked away.
mm-hmm.
That Tommy was holding that card like. He understood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you go back to Power Season 6, one of the last episodes when Ghost was murking people,
mm-hmm. he,
a lot of people, and was placing cards.
mm-hmm.
That's the card he put on people.
When he killed all those guys to get out the business.
Yeah.
So that was Season 2. When he killed Drifty and all them cats? That was Season 2. It was Season 2, and then he told Luis to leave.
What I'm saying is it came up later.
Yeah.
You're right. What I'm thinking came out later.
Mm-hmm.
It came out. It was understood. But going back to that card, it has a lot of meaning.
Mm-hmm.
That card has a lot of meaning. Put it on those people.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget, bro. People are power fans of Forces. Remember the Serbs connection in Chicago too.
Yes.
That's another dynamic.
He's supposed to go there.
Yeah.
He killed the Serb. killed mm-hmm. the serpent, and he also killed, what was the other dude? That James wound up killing, but put it on, what's his name? Dre.
Mitchitch?
Mitchitch.
The head guy.
Head guy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're still there in Chicago, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the people you just pissed off in California.
Oh yeah, so Tommy got mad enemies already. Right. Talking about that cruel joke with Ty Diamond is I only got three enemies. No, bro, you got a whole lot more enemies coming.
He's like, here.
They're coming for you right now, bro. And the thing is that he's gonna need the soldiers from CBI. He's gonna need Flynn's soldiers. Right. And that's his way of playing the game. He's studying everybody who is worth keeping around. And who's worth the spend? Who's expendable?
Yes. But Tommy's watching everything that's going on around him.
In my eyes, right now, in this game, Diamond is not expendable. Flynn's daughter, Vic's sister, is. You will soon find out that she's not expendable either. She could fix the books.
There's a lot. She has an ear to the shriek.
Mm-hmm.
In an unconventional way, but she's still in there.
Yeah. So, it's going to be an interesting dynamic for next episode. I can't wait to, I don't know, should we do another recap of each episode, or should we wait to the mid-season point? I don't know, bro.
We'll see how we feel when we watch the next episode. Because if it pops off, then we're going to have to talk about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If we're going to wait for a build-up, we can wait for a build-up and then come back to it.
Absolutely. True Plays Podcast, Big Convo Fam. We got a lot of episodes that we got to do, we got to put out for the people.
Oh, you know what? Big Convo and Family is not dead in the water. I'm just trying to figure out how to reboot this the proper way.
Right.
I didn't want to do this with rules and regulations of hosts and co-hosts. But it's come to my attention, and due to sensibilities as far as people being on the show, I'm going to have to do that. So, in the effort to be fair to everybody that comes on to the show and everything like that, I will do that. Moving mm-hmm. forward.
Same here with True Players Podcast. Like I mentioned, we, me and Joey G spoke offline about this stuff. As far as I'm concerned, the only co-hosts on True Players Podcast is Ricky Brown, Joey G, Prophecy, and Black Rose. There'll be no new co-hosts to the podcast at all. You could be a guest co-host, but you're not going to be part of the lineup as far as being the main host. And Joey G understands why. And it's all about protecting the brand. It's all about protecting True Players Podcast brand. It's all about protecting Big Convo Families brand and all the other brands that we both represent. Joey Chi represents Gilmas Elgato LLC brand. That's his brand. He has to protect that brand. I myself is All Basis Consulting, the World Changes Group, True Duthel Productions. That's my brand, and I gotta protect it at all costs. Me and Joey Chi, we don't have a friendship. We have a brotherhood. So we understand we can talk about things off camera, and we understand each other perfectly. As far as other people who are on the show, co-hosts and stuff like that, and what happened on another show, and then what happened, litigation was threatened, that's a big no-no.
I understand all that. I think my biggest thing with that whole situation that went down, conversations that we had on podcasts and everything like that, and the blow up and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
What I got from the situation, and I know this because it's happened to me before, not dealing with the podcast, but just in regular life dealing with people. Not everybody reacts in the way, in the manner that you would like them to react.
Right.
Friend or colleague or or a coworker or a family member, it doesn't matter. They don't react in the same manner that you would react. My mistake was to think that the person would react in the same manner that I would, and mm-hmm. treat it half-heartedly as I would have.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my mistake. They took mm-hmm. it personally. They exercised their right to pull the person out and proceed forward in the manner that they felt necessary at the time. And it led to a shortening of the show. So
right.
we'll leave it at that and say that it was a learning experience on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Moving forward, I understand what needs to be done now.
And part of it is too, bro, is the ambassador that came as far as yourself and myself as podcast hosts. We had another podcast host who was really blowing up right now, our boy Mars, Down and Then podcast. Shout out to him, definitely, and all that. And
we have an upcoming too.
Upcoming.
Kill.
Yes. So it was an embarrassing situation. I should have never, if everyone kept their composure, we would have been able to navigate it through. And keep in mind one thing, ladies and gentlemen, we got a classmate who's doing podcasts in Orlando, big time podcast. Our guy, Brian
Podcast.
He's doing poetry. He's an actor as well. Our guy, Brian Bethia, our fams, the UNIDEL High School, Turtle Hook family. You know what I'm saying? I hope to have us join us on our show soon too. That's something we gotta do before the 4-year anniversary of True Players Podcast to have him on the show as well.
It'd be an honor to mingle with him as far as the podcast is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Not just off camera but on the podcast and to do it up big. I know since I was in Jacksonville and he started his poetry and everything like that. He had been reaching out as far as trying to link up and get these things popping because your voice is necessary. Not everybody needs to have the same point of thought.
Right.
Not everybody needs to have the same point of thought, but we can respect other people's points of view. I think the biggest thing that I've learned, I'm gonna get a little real with you. Biggest thing that I've learned about the Trump administration was
mm-hmm.
you're allowed to have your point of view.
Right.
You're allowed to have your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't take that away from you.
Mm-hmm.
I said my biggest mistake as far as the Trump era was telling people how they should feel and how they should act in those situations.
Right.
Not knowing how you felt in that situation.
Correct.
Granted, I don't agree with you,
mm-hmm.
which is my choice. I don't have to agree with you. But we have to coexist and I have to understand where you come from when you make the decisions that you make and maybe the point of view that you were coming from when you made those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You rationalize the situation or just understand that's your position, period.
Mm-hmm.
Respect it. Move on. We still have to coexist.
Correct.
This is where I'm at. So to have the blow up that we had on the podcast after having this epiphany, if you will, it was just mind blowing to me because this is somebody of the same mind that came up from the same upbringing that I was raised in. So I understand the culture that we were raised in and how we react to things growing up. But I forget, life happens. Things change.
Mm-hmm.
Things that change people's perspective and how they react to things. So it's not going to be the way I thought it was going to be. I didn't predict mm-hmm. it like I would back in high school because we may not be on the same page when it comes to how to react to those situations. So moving forward, as I said, we'll just go in a different direction and try to be more respectful in how we handle those situations.
Absolutely.
Those that we bring on the show, they will be guests on the show, and they will be a part of the show. They're entitled to their opinion. They're allowed to speak their minds and everything like that. And I will never have another argument or displacement of people on the show like that again. I won't. I won't have it.
Gotcha.
Even if I have to knock down the name, change the name, and start all over again, I'm not happy.
Let me tell you something. My advice to you, bro, never change your name over an incident. You just remove the culprits of the incident. That's all. And another thing too, just to defend that particular person, they also have a brand to protect as well. But the reaction, the response, kind of exposed that they just wasn't ready for their brand fully.
Let me say this, because I didn't get a chance to. And mm-hmm. this is a key thing that people missed.
Mm-hmm.
I brought everybody on the show together. The people that I bring on the show, aside from me and Dom, because we've been doing this for a minute
together, mm-hmm.
the people that I bring on the show, I see potential in you to do your own thing.
Right.
Your perspective on things that I've heard you speak about, your conversation and your unique points of view is why I brought you on the show to begin with.
Correct. And they do have great insight in what they're trying to add to the show.
Right. Now it takes some time. It takes some getting used to understand how to be in front of the camera and understand that everything that you do, mm-hmm. every mannerism, every facial expression, everything that you do is being recorded, not only by the camera, by the people watching, and they're mm-hmm. going to be interpreted in a certain way.
Correct.
Now, I understand that, not only as Joe Gomez off the screen, but I understand that as Joey G on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Understand there's two different people when you're speaking to me on screen.
Mm-hmm.
On screen, I know how to stay in character. Off mm-hmm. screen, I know how to go back and forth, if you will. But in essence, it's something that needs to get, you have to get used to. I'm sorry that it was taken as far as it was. I'm sorry mm-hmm. that turned into the situation it did. There's no hard feelings on our end. The people that were involved, they've done apologize as much as they're going to apologize. I'm sorry. And I said it one more time, one last time. That's all I can say about that.
Got you, bro. Got you, bro. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to end the podcast on that note, courtesy of Joey G. One most important thing in life is it's okay to disagree. Actually, life moves when people disagree and come to a compromise or come to an agreement or make a deal. And that's where it's been lost. This particular situation has been lost since President 45 coming to office, and it's still continuing with President number 46 with the in the interest of protecting my income, you know. But you never know. My income is being threatened right now as far as that goes. So we'll see what happens on Thursday. Well, I'll be probably get the decision during this podcast when it airs. So, you know what I'm saying? So if I do end up losing that income, it'll be back to a regularly scheduled program prior to me working there. But if not, I gotta maintain that same vigor, same respect on that note. Okay. And also listen to the podcast on Joe G Radio, Spotify, Anchor, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio. I'm hopefully gonna get it back on Spreaker. Guys, not gonna see me on Spreaker. If you look for me on Spreaker, you're not gonna see any new episodes on that. Patreon. I'm in the process of developing that. Believe pod, the Unbelieve website. I'm trying to develop a relationship with that as well. Women's Entrepreneur series is still coming. I keep pushing it back because the person who I want to do as my first episode is my cousin V here. My cousin V. She has a newborn. So I want to give her some time to enjoy life as a new mom. And when that Woman's Entrepreneur series, she's going to be the premiere of that series, the premiere episode of that series. So that series is still coming. Just be patient. When her episode premieres, we're rolling. We're running with it. You feel me?
I look forward
to that. You're gonna see Dom Big Dom, the Immortal World Champion, the suit, tie, and everything. Because I gotta represent the woman entrepreneurs the proper way. You know, when you run a go-getter, females who are go-getters, you gotta come wear a suit, a three-piece suit, not two-piece. A three-piece suit with a shirt and tie. You know what I'm saying? Give these queens their respect. Because they put in hard work. These are women who are mothers who got to raise how many children? Some got three children. Some got one children. They got to take and raise their kids. They got a regular job. And on top of that, doing their thing as entrepreneurs. On top of that. Okay? And also... And I was also like for you, people understand is my other business ventures as well. Look into has anybody heard of a Head Start program? If you have never heard of a Head Start program, you need to come holler at me. It'll blow your mind for your child. Your child could be a $1 million baby by the age of 18, and I can show you how. So get at me, ladies and gentlemen. Get at me. Definitely hit me up on my True Players Podcast email, trueplayerspodcast@gmail.com, TRUPLAYAZ podcast@gmail.com. Any comments, any commentary, any things you want to bring up to the attention so I can address you on the show, definitely hit me up on the email. All right. So on that note, I bless you guys. We're going to hit you up in another episode soon. I'm going to talk about Knicks. Well, I gotta get that episode out. So we'll talk about the Knicks after the All-Star game bit. We'll talk about that as well. So on that note, it's your man Big Dom, the Immortal World Champion, Joey G. We're gonna sign off on this podcast. Peace, ladies and gentlemen. But we'll see you soon.